Once again, it's an honor for me to be here to speak in the North Miami Beach Community Kollel, and especially you have such wonderful leadership here with Rabbi Blezer and Rabbi Singer. So you're truly zeicha to have with fine, really wonderful younger light. And so it's truly Kiddush Hashem. And so it's really an opportunity for me to be able to be here. I'd like to talk about a topic which is slightly mysterious, exactly what it means. Tosfos in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah tells us already that there's a, what is the din? Tosfos is discussing what is the din that we face on Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos brings down a concept that the din of Rosh Hashanah is on whether a person is a ben olam haba. So are you going to olam haba or not? And that's what Tosfos says, ad kan. The Vilna Gaon takes that shita and he develops it into a whole complex thing which requires a lot of eon, that there's in fact two dinim that go on Rosh Hashanah. Two separate things. And one is whether you're ben olam haba, and another one is how is your olam hazeh going to be like. And he says the judgment of olam haba happens on Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah alone. And that's it. There's nothing more you can do about it. And your olam hazeh, so you get judged on Rosh Hashanah, and we all know that the chasima, and you have aser shimei tshuva, that will occur, and then finally the chasima is on Yom HaKippurim at the end. And so it just makes things more complicated. What is this ben olam haba? And everyone wants to know. I mean, it would seem to be that whether a person is a ben olam haba is decided after a person is no longer here. A person comes up to Shemayim after 120 years on this world, so they make a decision whether you're a ben olam haba or not. Complex decision, but that's when it's made. There's another decision may be made, the loss of Lavoi, and the Yom HaDin HaGadol, there's something called the Great Day of Judgment, that maybe they'll make another decision like that. But why every year on Rosh Hashanah are we being judged on whether we are a ben olam haba or not? What does it mean, and what kind of ramifications does that have? We're here, we're not an olam haba. So I'd like to talk about that. What in the world does it mean to be a ben olam haba? The truth of the matter is, you'll say, well, if that's the case, according to the Vilna Gaon, I should have come last week, because it's too late already. So that's a good taina. However, the answer to that taina is, as we'll see, that being a ben olam haba does not take 3 days of preparation. Halavai that we could prepare now for next year Rosh Hashanah. And the preparations have to start now. As we'll see integrally, of course, the most vital part of our planning of being a ben olam haba, of coming out l'chaim on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, of whether we're people who are b'nei olam haba, is the most important part is to start right now during our Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because that's what gives us the proper direction to be b'nei olam haba for next year Rosh Hashanah. So there's a Gemara. The Gemara tells us, strange Gemara, we're probably most of us have heard of this Gemara at one point or another. We just had it in Daf Yomi not too long ago. The Gemara in the beginning of Brachas and Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Amr Reb Elazar, Amr Reb Avina. So the Gemara says the following, Kol Omer Tehillah LeDavid, which is another name for Ashrei. We call it Ashrei, as the Gemara itself calls it Ashrei also. The Gemara uses both names in the next couple of lines. So it says, anyone who says Tehillah LeDavid is B'chol Yom every day, Shalish Pa'amim, three times, according whatever Rashi says, Keneged Shalish Tefilos, is, so if you say Tehillah LeDavid, Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. So you're guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. So say Ashrei three times a day, you're ben olam haba. So it sounds simple. It sounds absurdly simple. To get into Olam Haba, all you have to do is say Kriya Shema, say Tehillah L'David three times a day. That's all it takes. It's okay, so we're all B'nai Olam Haba. And so the people who don't make it L'chaim, I guess are the people who forget to daven Mincha once in a while. I mean, I don't know, whatever it might be. You know, so they miss Ashrei, so then, they're in big trouble. For the whole rest of us who made sure to daven three times a day, the whole year, that's it, you're B'nai Olam Haba. But it sounds absurdly simple. Right, that could be the whole thing. Second of all, is the Mefarshim have a kasha, is, okay, so that's all he did? If he said Ashrei three times a day, he probably davened the rest of the davening also. So what happened to that? And what happens to Shemana Esrei? At the Pesukim, to the rest of the Pesukim, we're like, what's going on here? Why do we pick out from the whole tefillah Ashrei? So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara explains what's so special about it, but the Gemara makes the kasha even worse. The Gemara says, my taima. What's the reason why you're a ben olam haba if you say Ashrei three times a day? Ilema mishum da'alav, da'asya ba'alav beis. Is maybe Ashrei is so special because it follows the Alav beis. Alav beis, gimel, dalet, right? We have all the different sukim, and they start with the Alav beis. The Gemara later on discusses there is no nun. That's a discussion later in the Gemara. But it goes follows the Alav beis. So the Gemara says, Neima Ashrei Tamimei Derech. Instead of reading Ashrei, Da'asya Betamni Apin. If you go to Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes in Tehillim, so the Perek Kuf Yud Tes has Alav beis eight times over. Alav is eight psukim, beis is eight psukim, etc. It makes for the longest Kapitel Tehillim of 176 psukim because of that. So that's eight times as special. So why don't we say, so Ashrei is not so special. Ashrei Tamimei Derech is even more special. So the Gemara says, Elo Mishum De'izbe Poyseches Yodecha. The Teretz is because it talks about that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Parnasa to each and every one of us. Poyseches Yodecha Masbi'a L'chol Chai Rotzei. So the Gemara says, Neima Halel HaGodol. So let's say the capital in Tehillim, which is called Halel HaGodol, Techsiv Be'i, it says over there, we say this all the time, Kila Olam Chaslo, it says, the capital with Kila Olam Chaslo, Kila Olam Chaslo, Kila Olam Chaslo, Noisen Lechem L'chol Basar, Kila Olam Chaslo, the same thing, Hashem gives Parnasa to every living thing in this world. So, that can't be why Ashrei is special. And the Gemara answers something very unusual. Elam Yishom, the Isbe Tarti. Because it has both of these things. It has an Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, it goes according to the Aleph Beis. And number two is because it talks about Parnasa. Those two things together are so strong that if you say Ashrei three times a day, you're guaranteed a place in Olam Haba. You're Ben Olam Haba, I should say. So the question is, what in the world does this mean? What in the world does this mean? So there are many, many mefarshim here. So I'd like to say over something from the compiler of the Ein Yaakov, Reb Yaakov Ibn Chabiv. And he wrote, besides compiling, he wrote a pirush himself in the Ein Yaakov called HaKaisev. The author, called himself the author. So he writes the following. He asks all these kashas. He says, it sounds absurd that the person should be a Ben Olam Haba just for Ashrei, and he asks many other questions that it doesn't fit into the Gemara at all. And what's this inyan of three times a day, and what's going on over here? So I'd like to explain his answer, change it a little bit, and add a little bit to it, but it's mostly what he says. There's an old Shiloh. Why do we daven? Why do we daven? What is the purpose of davening? What is the purpose of davening? Why? What's the point of doing tefillah? Right? It's avodah shel b'lev. So we serve the Ribbono shel Olam with tefillah. So that is serving the Ribbono shel Olam. But what is the point of us getting up and asking for things? Why do we ask for something? We ask for slicha, Parnasa, we ask for Refuah Shleima, we ask for Mashiach, we ask for all these wonderful things, Geula, all these things we ask for Das. Every day in Shmon Esrei, we ask for so many different things. What is the point, number one? Number two is, even stronger the question, is we believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, we have unquestionable belief that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows everything that's going on. And he takes everything into account. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam takes everything into account, that's one of our beliefs. We also believe, besides that, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has our best interests in mind. He's a Tov U'Meitiv. We just said in Musaf, we say, Tov U'Meitiv, La'Ro'im V'La'Tovim. Even for bad people, the Ribbono Shel Olam is good. And Memela, if the Ribbono Shel Olam knows everything, and not only that, he has only our best interests in mind, what is the point of davening for anything? Let the Ribbono Shel Olam say, Ribbono Shel Olam, do as you please. You know better than me. You know exactly what I need and what I don't need. What's the best recipe in my life? And you know everything that's going on in the world. And Mamela, there's no one better suited to make the decisions. So I'm going to sit here and start asking, and all I could do is mess things up. Because when I'm supposed to go right, I'll be asking to go left. And when I ask for Parnassa, I should not have Parnassa because I'm going to trouble with the IRS, and it would have been better not to make any money that year. They would have never thought of coming after me. Right, who knows what it is? Right, we know better. We know definitely to make things worse. That's the only thing we're going to accomplish. So what is the point of ever davening at all? We shouldn't daven. It's a waste of time. It's worse than a waste of time. It's making things worse for ourselves. So why do we daven? So there are two answers to this question. There's many answers to this question, but two answers that he picks out, and I'd like to dwell on those two answers slightly different than the way he goes through them. The simple answer is that the point of tefillah, the question is, what is the point? And second of all, we're just going to make things worse. It's not true. There is something that we can accomplish with tefillah. Is we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't necessarily judge in one way. We don't have time to go through the exact mechanics of how and why and what the Sfarim deal with this. But we know sometimes, as a person could be under the control of Midas Adin, is the way the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to this person is in a strict way. There's an alternative way, which you call Midas HaRachamim. Hashem goes ahead and judges a person with Rachamim and mercy. Both of these are options. How both of these options can be both in our best interest, so that's a good question. And it's way beyond what we want to talk about today. But this is well known, that these are options that are available, how a person could be judged and dealt with. Hashem could say, we're going to deal with you in Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin. So one option of saying is that the point of tefillah is to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for the things that we need. And through the power of tefillah, which also needs to be explained how that works, but through the power of tefillah, we have the ability to take a situation where chas v'shalom, a person would be under the midas hadin of Hashem, and he wouldn't get it, what he needs. And that would be the best way, in that world of midas hadin, that's the best way to deal with this person, not to get what he's supposed to get. Or we daven and we switch it to midas harachamim. And then there's another option. There's another way of looking at the whole world and another way of fixing things up. And that has to be dealt with to explain exactly what that is. But there's a whole other way of looking at it where the best thing for this person is to get what he's asking for. So there's two possibilities. Let's talk about chas v'shalom. A person could have no parnasa 1 year, or he could have parnasa. If it's midas adin, so if we're working in that kind of, in that mahalach, we're going in that, with that angle. So in that situation, it's for them, the best thing is not to get a penny. On the other hand, is you can have a situation where the best thing for him is to get it. In the world of Midas HaRachamim, it's a whole different way of looking at things and working things out. And when we're working things out with Rachamim, so then, well, somehow he should get the Parnassah. We ask Ribbono Shel Olam, Baruch Aleinu, please send us Parnassah this year. I would love to have my Parnassah this year. So we ask from the Ribbono Shel Olam to please give us our Parnassah. That's one way of looking at the answer to this question. So it comes out that the point of this tefillah is we're trying to daven in order to get what we want. We need to get what we want, and there's certain hindrances, there's certain obstacles in our path, and we want to get rid of those obstacles, these things that create midas adin in our life, and we want to push them aside and Ribbono Shel Olam, Hisnaig Imonu B'Midas HaRachamim. Go ahead and have mercy on us instead, and let's go this way. It's a lot easier for me to live my life with Midas HaRachamim than through Midas HaDin. And that's what tefillah has, that power to go ahead and to switch which angle we're approaching life with. Okay, so this is one way of looking at tefillah. But at the end of the day, the point of the tefillah is in order to be able to accomplish what I'd like to have. I'd like to have parnasa. There's a way to get it, it's through tefillah. There's another way to look at tefillah. And the Altar of Kelm talks about this. Many, many Sfarim who talk about it. But in his before his whole Sefer, he talks about tefillah. So his first discussion is, why do we daven? And how does it make any sense? And he answers, the point of davening is not at all to ever think that we're going to get something because of our tefillah. In fact, the point of tefillah is not to get something, but rather, whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam does decide is the right thing that I'm supposed to get. My point of tefillah is to sit there and to realize, why did I get it? Hashem will make the best decision. Tov u'meitiv, you're going to get whatever is best for you. We don't know what that is. But if I do get it, I don't want it to be thought for even a fraction of a moment that it was koichi v'yitzim yadi, I did it. You know why I made $1 million this year? Because I closed that deal. And that's why I did it. I was the only store that stayed open in the whole place because I did it. Because I was the most clever businessman. I was the smartest one. I was there on time. I ran faster than everyone else. The point of tefillah is not to get something, but to change our attitude. To realize that our attitude has to be that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we call Nes Nista. It's a hidden miracle. It looks like I'm doing it. But on the other hand, it's not. I'm not doing it. It's really the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything that happens. As we all know, you'll ask every businessman, he'll say, look, you know what, at the end of the day, it's 95, 99, 93% mazel. Right? Tefillah tells you it's 100%. Slamais, it's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam that it worked out. It's the nisayon that we have in this world to be able to go ahead and to think that it's not like that. But we davened every time in order to realize that that's not the case. These are the two options that the Ein Yaakov goes ahead and offers for two different kinds of people who daven. He says, the difference is, for example, the second person, what happens? You ask the first person, he says, I'm trying to get something, and it didn't happen. What's the attitude of the first person? The attitude of the first person is, I didn't daven right. If I would have daven really good, I would have gotten it. What's the attitude of the second person? So I don't know if you remember, a little while ago, there was a terrible story. There was a Jewish soldier, if I remember correctly, I think his name was Nachshon Waxman, I think was. And he was captured as a soldier by some Arabs, some Palestinians, and they took him as a hostage. And they holed up into a building, and not to go through the whole story, but everyone was davening that this person should come out alive and well. His parents were asking everyone, they should daven, please, as a from soldier. They said, well, all the tefillah should be that this person should be saved. At the end of the day, they tried to save him, but it was botched and whatever, the whole thing, and they ended up killing him in the most brutal way possible. It was a terrible, terrible story. So they went to the parents of this Nachshon, and they said, you know, so some reporters went there, some secular reporters went there and said, look, what happened to all your prayers? You've been praying and asking everyone to pray, and what happened to all of them? So if I remember correctly, I think it was the mother that says, she says, what? Our prayers were answered. Our prayers were answered. No, that he's not going to be saved. That's not going to happen. Right? That's the second approach to tefillah. It's my point of my tefillah is not to get a certain result. It's not to get a certain result. because we don't know what the best result is. We really don't know. The point of my tefillah is to elevate myself to realize that what's really going on is that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam is orchestrating the world. Of course, there's a place for a person's hishtadlus and what we're supposed to do and everything. But at the end of the day, we have to realize is the shots are being called by what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing. Certain things will not happen if we don't have hishtadlus. Certain things, whatever it might be. It's a complex story, but at the end of the day, we look at the world and see what's going on around us. We have to realize that it's min hashamayim, everything. And that's the difference, is that if the answer is no, it's no. It's not depending on my tefillah. The answer is going to be whatever happens is exactly what's supposed to happen, and that's the best outcome, and there was no other outcome. So he says these are the two possibilities over here. The Nefesh HaChaim expounds upon the second approach to tefillah. He says that we said beforehand, the source of tefillah is we say, Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. And he talks about what is the epitome of tefillah. Of course, the lowest level of tefillah is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I need this, and I need that, I need the other thing. Everybody has their pile of things that they need. And the Nefesh HaChaim says that in fact the words of the pasuk are telling us the opposite. Ribbono Shel Olam says you should serve Hashem, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is you should serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with l'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem, with your whole heart and with your whole soul. And to go into exactly what the Nefesh HaChaim says, it's way beyond the scope of anything. It's one of his most complex ideas. But bekitzer, is b'chol levavchem means is that I don't think about anything else. I'm not thinking about olam hazeh. My interests in life are not what happens in this world. And b'chol, that's my whole heart. I don't have a divided heart. What do I really love in life? What do I really want? That b'chol levavchem means, step number one, is that a person should be striving for a life full of ruchnius. And there's many ways, but a life full of ruchnius. B'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem, he says that's even a higher level, which is way beyond, but it means that a person should totally separate his body and his neshama and his mind from his body and separate them apart from each other. And approach the Ribbono Shel Olam, mamish like with Yisrael b'chol levav, l'chol nafshechem is like mesiras nefesh, and say I, whatever that's high madrigas, way beyond us. But that's like what he says. I'll call upon him is to go ahead and to say I wish I was a object, a person, a living thing that was purely ruchnius, way beyond our madriga. But that's what he says. That's the point of tefillah. Right? That fits very well into this. That the point of tefillah is to reorganize our minds in a way where we prioritize what's really important for us in life. That's what tefillah is all about. Is to prioritize ruchnius in our life. To understand that as Ribbono Shel Olam was calling the shots, to lower our arrogance, our gaiva, and to realize that it's really everything in this world is the source from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zakta Ein Yaakov, he says like this. He says, that's the point in this Gemara over here. The point of the Gemara over here is that if you say Ashrei three times a day, and obviously, you know, if you just, unfortunately, we have a word for it, right? If you daven it up, it's not going to work, right? Unfortunately, that's the word we use. We say, you're supposed to say Ashrei, davening. You're supposed to daven it, but with the word for not davening, we call davening, right? But that's the way it is. We say to, you know, if you mean that you just run through it at 100 miles an hour, so you say you're davening it. But that's not what davening is supposed to be. If you're really, if you say Ashrei three times a day, so what are you accomplishing? He says, you're choosing a life, like method number two. You're choosing a life in which your point of tefillah is what? What is your point of tefillah? My point of tefillah is nothing more than, it's not to get, it's wonderful, but Mitzvah Hashem, everyone should have all wonderful good things. And we should have brachas and atzalcha with everything that we do this year. But that's not the point of my tefillah. That's what I say. But the point of it is to realize that I have the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life. I have ruchnius, I have spirituality in my life. I have all these different things which are part and parcel of who I am. That is what the statement Ashrei Yoshev Veisecha Tila LaDavid HaRimimchala, and he says why? Because he says it's a kapitel Tehillim where David HaMelech asks for nothing. He says nothing there. He says I'm not asking for anything at all. That's number one. And he says it's done with Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, he says, is a statement. We know the Ribbono Shel Olam created the whole world with Aleph Beis, with the letters of the Aleph Beis. So the world was created with Aleph Beis to say Ashrei and to say I'm not here to ask for anything. My point in life is just to realize where it all comes from. That's what I have to do. I have to come to that madrega where I realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world. How do you make that statement? You say Ashrei, and yet has all the Aleph Beis, meaning everything in the world is focused on that one thing. That's number one. Number two, as the Gemara says, is you say a pasuk of Peseches Yadecha. Here I depart a little bit more than from the rest of it, from what he says in the Ein Yaakov. I want to say a little bit differently. There's a famous Chazal. Chazal tell us that the mon fell every single day. The mon fell every single day. And Chazal say, why? Why did it fall every single day? It says, Moshal Amah Adover Daima. What is this talking about? So Chazal tell us that there was once a king who had a wonderful son who was a prince. And every year, the prince had a chais, I don't know, he gets $1 million a year to spend on all his wild Michigan trips. And a kitzur maaseh, he gives the prince that $1 million, he puts it into the bank. And the last time he saw him for that year was that moment. And then the next year he comes back again and he says, hey, Pa, I'm here again. It's time to give me my allowance again. And so he shows up once a year. Meanwhile, the rest of the year he's running around here and he's running there. He's sailing the seven seas and he's a chais, climbing the Himalaya mountains and he's busy with his friends and he's partying. He's busy all year long and he shows up once a day. He says, oh, my dear Father King, so thank you so much. And he walks away and disappears for the whole year. So the king said, this is not going anywhere. We got to do something here. So he says, okay, the way we're doing it is you get dvar yoyim b'yoyimai. Is whatever you need for that day, you get for that day and finished. And he says, Mamela, you're going to show up and you're going to go ahead and you're going to be here every single day. So Mamela, you'll say hello to me at least once a day. Okay, this is what the Chazal say. So why is that? Why you get the man? So imagine you got the money once a year. Okay, shoo, Baruch Hashem. Okay, we could forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all clear until next year. Like this, the Jews were in the Midbar. Every single day they were worried, scared, stiff, that tomorrow's mon is not coming. We'll do a mistake, Hashem will get angry at us, and there won't be any mon. And then it's going to be Avtzaris. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? It's Avtzalachas, and there's no hope for anything. There's no hope. Where am I going to go? We have all these people. We have millions of people sitting without any food. Where are we going to go to get that food from? So Mamela Ribbono Shel Olam sent them on every day. This was something that was on people's mind. Chazal tell us that the mon was a lesson for eternity for how Jewish people should treat their parnasa. That's the way it was. It's a lesson. The same way the Eden had the mon then, is we have to look at our parnasa that comes every single day as mon min hashamayim. Right, we have to look at it the same thing, that every day it's a matana that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending to us. And we don't know what's going to be tomorrow. But today, I got to work on it. I have to understand where it's coming from. And that probably is the strongest thing that drags us. Just like in the story with the prince, the one thing that forced him to have a relationship with his father, the king, was the fact that he needed that allowance. It's the same thing. What makes us the strongest thing that draws a person, chas v'shalom, maybe somebody's sick, sometimes that overrides it. But in general, for most people, is this one thing that bothers them every single day. What's going to be? When is there one day that we don't think like that? Is what's going to happen today? What's going to be? What should I do? And the whole day, and for a few minutes, we stay there, we dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam, please help us out with our parnasa for that day. This is one thing that the banging doesn't stop. It's banging on our heads all the time. And Chazal say This is the message from the Ribbono Shel Olam that we should not forget. And that's what it means over here. Poseach es yadecha. You throw into your ashrei and you realize that's the most important statement of all of ashrei. Poseach es yadecha maspia l'chol chai rotzoin. Right, this is the kind of person we're talking about. We're talking about a person who's choosing the second method of tefillah. That tefillah is to draw a person closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes the right decisions for us, and finished. I just want to point out, it could be both ways are true. I don't think one is exclusive to the other. But even if they're not exclusive to the other, meaning tefillah could also be that we do get things when we daven, because it switches things from midas hadin to midas harachamim. That could be emes, and this could also be emes. But that the real long-term goal of tefillah is not to switch midas harachamim and midas hadin to midas harachamim. The long-term goal is what? Is to bring a person closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to have that kind of life. And this is the meaning of the Gemara. The meaning of the Gemara says, "Who is a ben olam haba?" Zokti ein Yaakov. What is a ben olam haba? A ben olam haba is somebody who says ashrei three times a day, because that means you're that kind of person. You're that kind of person who goes ahead, and when you daven, you're not davening in order that you should get your kids, your whatever, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever kind of sneakers you want to get, your Nikes. Ribbono Shel Olam, send me my Nikes. Send me my chais, whatever it is. I want my Lamborghini finally. It's about time, Ribbono Shel Olam, send it to me. Right? That's not why we're davening. Whatever it is, everybody has their silly little things we daven for. That's not the point of it. The point of it all is the second mahalach, to make yourself into a ben olam haba. That's what it means to have that relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, that we are a ben olam haba. So this is what the Gemara guarantees you. You say three times Ashrei a day, and you say your whole olive bays and everything in your life, you say is coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And my parnasa on top of it all, because that's what's on top of my head all day long, that's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. If a person thinks like that, so then they're guaranteed to be a ben olam haba. What's the difference between a ben olam haba and not a ben olam haba? Practical difference. There's an astounding piece from Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv. An astounding piece to show the difference between two people. He says, go outside and you look at the ground and you see earth. He says, for most people, earth is, what is it? It's dirt. We call it dirt. Most people call earth dirt. That's what we do. That's dirt out there, right? Earth is dirt. And I get in my hands, I gotta go wash off my hands, my food falls on it, it's dirty, right? He says, on the other hand, he says, look at that earth. He says, what happens? That earth, this dirt, what comes out of it? He says, food for the whole world comes out of it. It grows out of it. Look at all that unbelievable food. Look at that, those unbelievable trees. Out of that simple black, dirty, icky, nothing, all of a sudden, look what's coming out of it. You have all these plants, not only that, imagine the artwork that comes out of it. You look at the most beautiful flowers in the world, where are they coming from? It's all growing out of that earth. And without that earth, people would all starve to death. So you could look at the earth in two different ways. You could look at it as dirt, it's ichi, it's dying, it's decaying, it's nothing. You could look at it as the source of what brings life to this world. Right? The earth is where everything grows out of and what keeps everyone going. There's two ways of looking at it. He says, somebody who's not a ruchnistic person, a person who's not a ben olam haba, what do they see? They see dirt there. He says, a ben olam haba sees life. Not only life, you see the most elegant, energetic, exciting life lying inside that earth. You have a different pair of eyeballs to see what you see, the exact same thing, and yet you see two totally different things. He says, that's a chilek. You take somebody and you bury them in the ground. So you take a rush and you bury him in the ground. What's his punishment? It's a terrible punishment for that person. Why is that terrible? He's sitting there with the death and the decay and the bugs and the worms, and they're eating them up, and it's terrible. You put a tzaddik in the ground. He's there, part of the ground. That's where all of life comes from. He looks at it as a ben olam haba. You realize what's going on here? You see, this is the tool of the Ribbono shel Olam to bring life into this world. And I'm part of that now. I'm in the ground. I've been brought back to the ground. He says, the difference of burying a tzaddik to burying a rasha is two different things, because they look at what's going on in two totally different ways. That's an astounding thing. You look at two of the exact same thing, and sometimes we don't even pay attention to what's going on. But the way a tzaddik looks at it is so different than the way a rasha looks at it. A ben olam haba looks at it differently than somebody who is not. This is what the Rav Simcha Zichel Ziv says. I'll give you another mashal. I'll give you a mashal, the difference between somebody who's a ben olam haba and not. There's a Rabbi Cardozo, which maybe many of you have heard of. He used to be a major lecturer in Har Sameach. He has his own yeshiva maybe now in Yerushalayim. I haven't heard of him in many years already, but whatever, I assume so. And I once heard him speaking that before he himself became a Baal Tshuva, he's once standing there and he makes a statement in public in front of a bunch of people. He says, well, I don't believe in God. Why? Because of the Holocaust. I don't believe in God. Can't be. There's no God. Okay? So there's a lady there, an elderly lady, who comes over to him and starts yelling at him. He says, you're a machutzif, you're nobody, you're nothing. Who do you think you are, you young whippersnapper? I'm like, what did I do wrong? He says, well, I'm sorry, well, what did I say wrong? He says, you don't understand something. See, I went through the Holocaust, and I believe in God because of the Holocaust. Right? I was there, and I lived through it. So I believe in God because of it. So don't tell me, you who is nobody and nothing, you weren't there, don't tell me you don't believe in God because of the Holocaust. So he said that was the first step in him towards becoming a Baal Tshuva. See, that's a woman who sees differently than other people see. Because she's a Ben Olam Haba. She's somebody who sees the ruchnius behind it. What's really going on over here? What's behind the scenes? You look at the dirt, earth. You don't see earth, dirt. You see earth. You see growth. It's a whole different way of looking at the world. She saw Rahmana Litzlan and all those terrible things. She was able to see the Ribbono shel Olam there. I said, Chutzif, how could anyone else say otherwise? If you weren't there, don't say anything. Focusing on the there's another story which I'm sure most of you probably know also. It's a well-known story with the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe met somebody after the war. We all know that he did a lot of kiruv with a lot of people. And he meets somebody, he refuses to daven. So he asks, why don't you, everyone else is starting to daven, Jew, why aren't you? He says, because I saw such a terrible thing, is that there was one person who managed to sneak a pair of tefillin to the concentration camp, and he had tefillin. And he used to go, people asked him if they could use the tefillin, and he said, you give me your bread ration for the day, I'll let you use my tefillin. When I saw something like that, somebody using tefillin for such a terrible thing to steal people's drop of food that they had away from them, I'm not interested in davening or putting on tefillin anymore. That's, I had enough of it. He says, you're very right, that was terrible, but why are you focusing on that? Why don't you focus on the people that were willing to give up their bread ration for the pair of tefillin? Right? You see what that meant to them. So once again, you could focus on different things in life. And a ben olam haba sees a different world in front of themselves. What is tragedy for one person could be a source of inspiration for someone else. What looks like totally ununderstandable becomes very understandable. Something that looks like death and dying becomes growth and living. And dirt becomes earth. That's what a ben olam haba is. That's what you get judged on Rosh Hashanah. What kind of person are you? Are you a person who is a ben olam haba or not? And going back to, you know, if our olam hazeh things on Rosh Hashanah, we have 10 days to fix it up. By the time we could daven, we could do tshuva, and we come to Yom Kippur, so everything could be fixed up. But this is something you can't fix in 10 days. You can't fix this in 10 days. You can't go ahead and say, you know what, okay, Rosh Hashanah wasn't a Ben Olam Haba. By the time I get to Yom Kippur, it'll be all fixed. That's Rosh Hashanah, it's over. Either you are or you're not. But you can start working. We could start working to change our approach to life, our approach to tefillah, approach to everything that goes on around ourselves. If we make ourselves into inspired people, people who see the Ribbono Shel Olam in their lives, Rosh Hashanah, we can come to next year, and when we come to the din of judgment, day of judgment of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Rosh Hashanah, we could be zeicha all to be b'nei olam haba, and hopefully we could start on the path now, and with that also we should be zeicha to a chasima, taiva, and Yom HaKippurim, to have a life full of happy things, and we should have bracha and hatzlacha and nachas from everything with gezunt, and Ribbono Shel Olam should all send us a Yeshua and a gula shleima b'karev b'yameinu.